Political instability in Italy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. There's uncertainty in Italy today, with the coalition government teetering on the brink of collapse after one party withdrew its support for a confidence vote. The move by the populist party Five Star Movement led to Prime Minister Mario Draghi tendering his resignation. Lorenzo Codogno is a visiting professor at the London School of Economics. I asked him why the split has happened now.
Elections are approaching. They are scheduled for the spring of next year if they don't happen before that. As we approach the general elections, political parties are willing to differentiate their position from the rest of the coalition. So they are starting to get more vocal.
And how is Italy's economy at the moment?
Well, the economy is suffering from the cost of living crisis, as everybody else in Europe. The economy is benefiting from the huge European package for investment. So investment activity is doing reasonably well. In addition to that, there is a boom in tourism right now. This is the positive side. The negative is that because of the big spike in inflation, real disposable incomes will be squeezed. And keep in mind that household consumption accounts for 2/3 of GDP, so inevitably there will be a significant slowdown, possibly even a recession, probably in the second half of this year, beginning of next year.
And if there is an early election, would that signal a change in government policy then moving forward?
First of all, it's not clear whether there will be early elections. There's still a chance that there will be negotiations and finally an agreement, so there won't be any collapse in the government. If there are early elections, probably it will be at the end of September or beginning of October. I think that at this stage, given that as elections approach, there will be less and less possibility to deliver on reforms. It's probably better to have it immediately and have it out of the way and restart afresh with a new government, possibly delivering on reforms.
Lorenzo Codogno, thank you.
Thank you.
To China now, where the latest growth figures are a far cry from the country's own target. The government had wanted 5.5% growth in the second quarter, but only got 0.4%. Here's the BBC's Katie Silver.
For 2 months, China's most populous city and commercial hub, Shanghai, was in lockdown. The manufacturing centre of Shenzhen faced closures as well. Continuing to pursue a zero-COVID strategy has seen massive supply chain disruptions, reduced output and congestion at Chinese ports. While many of these curbs have been lifted and there are some signs of improvement, analysts don't expect a rapid economic recovery. Many have downgraded their growth forecasts for the year for the world's second largest economy.
Katie Silver there. Let's take a look at the markets now. And following those China economic figures, Hong Kong shares tumbled Friday with the Hang Seng Index down just over 2%. In Europe, shares have rebounded from yesterday's losses, with investors focusing on the European Central Bank's policy meeting next week. Lebanon is suffering under a long-running economic crisis. 80% of people there are said to be living in poverty. Many families have been getting by with money that those who have left send back home. Those remittances are now estimated to make up a third of the economy. Karine Toby reports.
The greetings at the airport are very warm, but the relationship between Lebanon and its diaspora is not only an emotional one.
Among those visiting is 32-year-old Isabel. She left exactly a year ago to work in a supermarket chain in Liberia. We met her at her brother's house. She told us how her job abroad has been a game changer for her and her family.
Every month I transfer money to my mother and father. Before the crisis, expats would send $500 or $1,000 to their families. Now they can send like $200 to their parents, a bit less to their aunt, uncle, brother, and so on.
In Betroun, one of the most famous tourist destinations, the beaches are constantly crowded. Summer is when all businesses here boom, mostly thanks to the dollars spent by Lebanese working abroad. Sherber rents out furnished apartments in the old city. He showed me one of them that was just renovated. It's for $100 per night.
You know, nowadays $100 is hard to have. So the customers are mostly coming from abroad, foreigners and expats.
Mass immigration of Lebanese is not new. Expats' money has always boosted the economy back home. But now more than ever, with the collapse of the economy, it is becoming the lifeline for the country and the scores of those still living in it. Mike Azar is an economist.
What keeps the economy here standing on its feet, to some extent, are the remittances. But this has also a bad side. It has become some sort of an economic strategy to get people to immigrate in order to send money back home, while all other economic sectors are neglected.
Lebanese streets are adorned with big billboards greeting the expats coming for the summer. On the background of Lebanese landmarks, it reads something like, "We're glad you're coming." But the underlying message is, "We're glad you're spending."
Karine Torby reporting from Lebanon there. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. In London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.